This is the reading for July 17th, Proverbs chapter 6. My child, be careful about giving a guarantee for somebody else's loan, about promising to pay what someone else owes. You might get trapped by what you say. You might be caught by your own words. My child, if you have done this and are under your neighbor's control, here is how to get free. Don't be proud. Go to your neighbor and beg to be free from your promise. Don't go to sleep or even rest your eyes, but free yourself like a deer running from a hunter, like a bird flying away from a trapper. Go watch the ants, you lazy person. Watch what they do and be wise. Ants have no commander, no leader or ruler, but they store up food in the summer and gather their supplies at harvest. How long will you lie there, you lazy person? When will you get up from sleeping? You sleep a little, you take a nap. You fold your hands and lie down to rest. So you will be as poor as if you had been robbed. You will have as little as if you had been held up. Some people are wicked and no good. They go around telling lies, winking with their eyes, tapping with their feet, and making signs with their fingers. They make evil plans in their hearts and are always starting arguments. So trouble will strike them in an instant. Suddenly, they will be so hurt no one can help them. There are 6 things the Lord hates. There are 7 things He cannot stand: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that kill innocent people, a mind that thinks up evil plans, feet that are quick to do evil, a witness who lies, and someone who starts arguments among families. My son, keep your father's commands and don't forget your mother's teaching. Keep their words in mind forever as though you had them tied around your neck. They will guide you when you walk. They will guard you when you sleep. They will speak to you when you are awake. These commands are like a lamp. This teaching is like a light. And the correction that comes from them will help you have life. They will keep you from sinful women and from the pleasing words of another man's unfaithful wife. Don't desire her because she is beautiful. Don't let her capture you by the way she looks at you. A prostitute will treat you like a loaf of bread, and a woman who takes part in adultery may cost you your life. You cannot carry hot coals against your chest without burning your clothes, and you cannot walk on hot coals without burning your feet. The same is true if you have sexual relations with another man's wife. Anyone who does so will be punished. People don't hate a thief when he steals because he is hungry, but if he is caught, he must pay back 7 times what he stole, and it may cost him everything he owns. A man who takes part in adultery has no sense. He will destroy himself. He will be beaten up and disgraced, and his shame will never go away. Jealousy makes a husband very angry, and he will have no pity when he gets revenge. He will accept no payment for the wrong. He will take no amount of money. 2 Chronicles chapter 23. In the 7th year, Jehoiada decided to do something. He made an agreement with the commanders of the groups of 100 men. Azariah, son of Jeroham, Ishmael, son of Jehohanan, Azariah, son of Obed, Messiah, son of Adiah, and Elishaphat, son of Zichri. They went around in Judah and gathered the Levites from all the towns, and they gathered the leaders of the families of Judah. Then they went to Jerusalem. All the people together made an agreement with the king in the temple of God. Jehoiada said to them, "The king's son will rule, as the Lord promised about David's descendants. Now, this is what you must do. You priests and Levites go on duty on the Sabbath. A third of you will guard the doors, a third of you will be at the king's palace, and a third of you will be at the foundation gate. All the other people will stay in the courtyards of the temple of the Lord. Don't let anyone come into the temple of the Lord except the priests and Levites who serve. They may come because they have been made ready to serve the Lord, but all the others must do the job the Lord has given them. The Levites must stay near the king, each man with his weapon in his hand. If anyone tries to enter the temple, kill him. Stay close to the king when he goes in and when he goes out." The Levites and all the people of Judah obeyed everything Jehoiada the priest had commanded. He did not excuse anyone from the groups of the priest. So each commander took his men who came on duty on the Sabbath with those who went off duty on the Sabbath. Jehoiada gave the commanders of 100 men the spears and the large and small shields that had belonged to King David and that were kept in the temple of God. Then Jehoiada told the men where to stand, each man with his weapon in his hand. There were guards from the south side of the temple to the north side. They stood by the altar and the temple around the king. Jehoiada and his sons brought out the king's son and put the crown on him and gave him a copy of the agreement. Then they appointed him king and poured olive oil on him and shouted, "Long live the king!" When Athaliah heard the noise of the people running and praising the king, she went to them at the temple of the Lord. She looked, and there was the king standing by his pillar at the entrance. The officers and the trumpeters were standing beside him, and all the people of the land were happy and blowing trumpets. The singers were playing musical instruments and leading praises. Then Athaliah tore her clothes and screamed, "Traitors, traitors!" Jehoiada the priest sent out the commanders of 100 men who led the army. He said, "Surround her with soldiers and take her out of the temple area. Kill with the sword anyone who follows her." He had said, "Don't put Athaliah to death in the temple of the Lord." So they caught her when she came to the entrance of the horse gate near the palace. There they put her to death. Then Jehoiada made an agreement with the people and the king that they would be the Lord's special people. All the people went to the temple of Baal and tore it down, smashing the altars and idols. They killed Matan, the priest of Baal, in front of the altars. Then Jehoiada chose the priests, who were Levites, to be responsible for the temple of the Lord. David had given them duties in the temple of the Lord. They were to offer the burnt offerings to the Lord, as the teachings of Moses commanded. And they were to offer them with much joy and singing, as David had commanded. Jehoiada put guards at the gates of the temple of the Lord so that anyone who was unclean in any way could not enter. Jehoiada took with him the commanders of 100 men, the important men, the rulers of the people, and all the people of the land to take the king out of the temple of the Lord. They went through the upper gate into the palace, and then they seated the king on the throne. So all the people of the land were very happy, and Jerusalem had peace because Athaliah had been put to death with a sword. 2 Chronicles chapter 24. Joash was 7 years old when he became king, and he ruled 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zibiah, and she was from Beersheba. Joash did what the Lord said was right as long as Jehoiada the priest was alive. Jehoiada chose two wives for Joash, and Joash had sons and daughters. Later, Joash decided to repair the temple of the Lord. He called the priests and the Levites together and said to them, "Go to the towns of Judah and gather the money all the Israelites have to pay every year. Use it to repair the temple of your God. Do this now." But the Levites did not hurry. So King Joash called for Jehoiada, the leading priest, and said to him, "Why haven't you made the Levites bring in from Judah and Jerusalem the tax money that Moses, the Lord's servant, and the people of Israel used for the holy tent? In the past, the sons of wicked Athaliah had broken into the temple of God and used its holy things for worshiping the Baal idols." King Joash commanded that a box for contributions be made. They put it outside at the gate of the temple of the Lord. Then the Levites made an announcement in Judah and Jerusalem, telling people to bring to the Lord the tax money Moses, the servant of God, had made the Israelites give while they were in the desert. All the officers and people were happy to bring their money, and they put it in the box until the box was full. When the Levites would take the box to the king's officers, they would see that it was full of money. Then the king's royal secretary and the leading priest's officer would come and take out the money and return the box to its place. They did this often and gathered much money. King Joash and Jehoiada gave the money to the people who worked on the temple of the Lord, and they hired stoneworkers and carpenters to repair the temple of the Lord. They also hired people to work with iron and bronze to repair the temple. The people worked hard, and the work to repair the temple went well. They rebuilt the temple of God to be as it was before, but even stronger. When the workers finished, they brought the money that was left to King Joash and Jehoiada. They used that money to make utensils for the temple of the Lord, utensils for the service in the temple and for the burnt offerings and bowls and other utensils from gold and silver. Burnt offerings were given every day in the temple of the Lord while Jehoiada was alive. Jehoiada grew old and lived many years. Then he died when he was 130 years old. Jehoiada was buried in Jerusalem with the kings because he had done much good in Judah for God and his temple. After Jehoiada died, the officers of Judah came and bowed down to King Joash, and he listened to them. The king and these leaders stopped worshiping in the temple of the Lord, the God of their ancestors. Instead, they began to worship the Asherah idols and other idols. Because they did wrong, God was angry with the people of Judah and Jerusalem, even though the Lord sent prophets to the people to turn them back to him. And even though the prophets warned them, they refused to listen. Then the Spirit of God entered Zechariah, son of Jehoiada the priest. Zechariah stood before the people and said, "This is what God says. Why do you disobey the Lord's commands? You will not be successful. Because you have left the Lord, he has also left you." But the king and his officers made plans against Zechariah. At the king's command, they threw stones at him in the courtyard of the temple of the Lord until he died. King Joash did not remember Jehoiada's kindness to him. So Joash killed Zechariah, Jehoiada's son. Before Zechariah died, he said, "May the Lord see what you are doing and punish you." At the end of the year, the Aramean army came against Joash. They attacked Judah and Jerusalem and killed all the leaders of the people and sent all the valuable things to their king in Damascus. The Aramean army came with only a small group of men, but the Lord handed over to them a very large army from Judah, because the people of Judah had left the Lord, the God of their ancestors. So Joash was punished. When the Arameans left, Joash was badly wounded. His own officers made plans against him because he had killed Zechariah, son of Jehoiada the priest. So they killed Joash in his own bed. He died and was buried in Jerusalem, but not in the graves of the kings. The officers who made plans against Joash were Jozabad and Jehozabad. Jozabad was the son of Shimeath, a woman from Ammon, and Jehozabad was the son of Shimrith, a woman from Moab. The story of Joash's sons, the great prophecies against him, and how he repaired the temple of God are written in the book of the Kings. Joash's son, Amaziah, became king in his place.
Chapter 4.
Let me explain further. As long as an heir is a child, he is no better off than a slave, even though he owns everything. He is placed under the control of guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. It was the same way with us. When we were children, we were slaves to the principles of this world. But when the right time came, God sent his son into the world. A woman gave birth to him, and he came under the control of God's laws. God sent him to pay for the freedom of those who were controlled by these laws so that we would be adopted as his children. Because you are God's children, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into us to call out, "Abba, Father." So you are no longer slaves, but God's children. Since you are God's children, God has also made you heirs. When you didn't know God, you were slaves to things which are really not God's at all. But now you know God, or rather God knows you. So how can you turn back again to the powerless and bankrupt principles of this world? Why do you want to become their slaves all over again? You religiously observe days, months, seasons, and years. I'm afraid for you. Maybe the hard work I spent on you has been wasted. Brothers and sisters, I beg you to become like me. After all, I became like you were. You didn't do anything wrong to me. You know that the first time I brought you the good news, I was ill. Even though my illness was difficult for you, you didn't despise or reject me. Instead, you welcomed me as if I were God's messenger or Christ Jesus himself. What happened to your positive attitude? It's a fact that if it had been possible, you would have torn out your eyes and given them to me. Can it be that I've become your enemy for telling you the truth? These people who distort the good news are devoted to you, but not in a good way. They don't want you to associate with me so that you will be devoted only to them. Devotion to a good cause is always good, even when I'm not with you. My children, I'm suffering birth pains for you again until Christ is formed in you. I wish I were with you right now so that I could change the tone of my voice. I'm completely puzzled by what you've done. Those who want to be controlled by Moses' laws should tell me something. Are you really listening to what Moses' teachings say? Scripture says that Abraham had two sons, one by a woman who was a slave and the other by a free woman. Now the son of the slave woman was conceived in a natural way, but the son of the free woman was conceived through a promise made to Abraham. I'm going to use these historical events as an illustration. The women illustrate two arrangements. The one woman, Hagar, is the arrangement made on Mount Sinai. Her children are born into slavery. Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She is like Jerusalem today because she and her children are slaves. But the Jerusalem that is above is free, and she is our mother. Scripture says, "Rejoice, women who cannot get pregnant, who cannot give birth to any children. Break into shouting, those who feel no pains of childbirth, because the deserted woman will have more children than the woman who has a husband." Now you brothers and sisters are children of the promise,
like Isaac.
Furthermore, at that time, the son who was conceived in a natural way persecuted the son conceived in a spiritual way. That's exactly what's happening now. But what does Scripture say? Get rid of the slave woman and her son, because the son of the slave woman must never share the inheritance with the son of the free woman.